Welcome to Voting Matters, a series of conversations about the voting process from WUKY and the League of Women Voters. Now, here's your co-hosts, Liza Holland, president of the Lexington chapter of LWV, and WUKY's Alan Lytle.
Hello again, Liza.
Hello, Alan. So great to be back.
Well, the deadline has now passed for people to register for this election, but that doesn't mean that things are slowing down from the league's standpoint. So what's going on now between now and Election Day?
Well, now it's all about making a plan to vote, because a lot of times you really need to be intentional about these things, right? It's easy to let it slip by, but we're very much encouraging people to consider, making it a voting party. Go ahead. You can have early days of voting October 31st, November 1st and 2nd at all the public library locations. Even on voting day, you can vote at the library locations this year, which is new. And the league's going to try something new this year. We've never done that before, at least here in Lexington. And we're going to get out doing some canvassing and knocking on doors and just encouraging people to vote and talking them through the plan and if they need transportation and hooking them up with resources. So I'm getting kind of excited about it. Should be fun.
Yes. And the early voting is, I always considered it a game changer, and I do think that more people will be taking advantage of it this time.
I certainly hope so. I think it makes it a lot easier, especially for anybody who's working in a position where their boss is going to grumble about them taking some time to vote or something like that. That Saturday is, like you said, a real game changer. And it also gives you just lots of different opportunities to be able to get out there and make your voice heard.
Yeah, and we want to maybe thank again Secretary of State Michael Adams for giving us all the time that he gave the last episode. And before that, Susan Lamb, Fayette County Clerk. These folks are very busy at this time of year. And, you know, the fact that they were able and willing to sit down and talk with us is just great, because the whole point of this podcast was just to highlight the importance that voting indeed matters.
Absolutely. And, you know, kind of it's part of my job to be knowledgeable about these things. And I learned from both Susan and Michael some different things that I didn't know before. So I really appreciate them. And I also just really want to give a shout out to the teams of people that work with both of them. We have 8 here in the offices in Fayette County, and they are working their little tails off. So big thanks and shout out to them. And if you have an occasion to call, they're absolutely lovely people, but be nice.
And no pressure here, but our guest today is the next to follow Secretary of State Michael Adams.
Yes, indeed. And I'm so excited. I know it's a pivot, but we're here with Cricket Brown, who has been a star of a local production. I got to meet Cricket when I went to see What the Constitution Means to Me, which is an amazing production that we had here in Lexington first part of September. And then they also were down in Richmond, I believe. Mm-hmm. But the depth of knowledge that I gained, even from all the amendments and everything from your performance, was just really powerful. And it got me really thinking about the power of youth coming up and their knowledge base, or lack thereof, of what's going on in the Constitution. So, Cricket, tell us a little bit about what drew you to that role in What the Constitution Means to Me.
Well, first, it was way early in the year, so I think like February or January, Vanessa was looking into doing the show, and I can't really speak for her, but I think her thought process of like reading through the script and whatnot was that like there was this debater at the end of the show, and they would debate about whether we should abolish or to keep the Constitution. And I think the way that the debater spoke, it kind of reminded her of me. So she came to me, and she like was like asking like, hey, do you want to like, there's this like awesome like opportunity, and I was really hoping that you could do the show with me. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll look into it. And I did, and I really wanted to do it, and so things kind of like took off from there, and I've learned a lot from it. Yes.
Cricket, how did performing in this play shape or change your understanding of the Constitution?
Well, before then, I didn't really like think of politics that much, just because like it normally isn't my scene like at all. and after mostly focusing on the debate part, I've learned a lot about like, because if someone were to ask me, hey, if you were to abolish or to keep the Constitution, what would you do? I'd be like, yeah, definitely abolish, because it sucks, because like that's what kind of everyone like my age kind of thinks. But after being like, we picked a side, because in the play there were two different options for me to either argue to keep the Constitution and Vanessa to abolish, or it would be switched, and we decided to like have me do like the keep version. And after arguing like the keep side of like keeping the Constitution, I like it definitely gave me some insight about like, hey, maybe we should actually like sit down and like think through every single thing rationally, because we can't just like mess with how things work, and things could go awry if we're not careful with that. So
has that created some new conversations amongst your friends, as far as, you know, I'm sure that they're probably interested in the fact that you've got this role, but has it caused some conversation around, you know, kind of politics and what we're grounded in?
Yeah, kind of. Like, definitely after whoever came to see Constitution, they definitely talked to me about, like, how they would have also said to abolish the Constitution, but, like the show definitely made it tough for them to be like, well, I think I still want to abolish, but maybe we should just keep. Like, it definitely like swayed them a bit, and it was interesting to hear like what other people would have chosen at first before hearing the debate.
Was there a particular moment, or let's say a line in the play, that really resonated with you?
I think one of the arguments, or like a point in Vanessa's argument, was that the dead should not govern the living, which I think is very true. And then I know like later on, I definitely said that like that, who was it? I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said that. And I said, well, Thomas Jefferson is dead, so we're listening to him. But like, I think it's very true that the dead should not govern the living, you know, because like Thomas Jefferson, you know, he was alive forever ago. And so things are really different now. And I don't think that we should keep the same rules or same laws and whatnot that applied back then now, because it doesn't really make sense. Because, you know, like, let's say, like, I'm trying to think, maybe like with like trans people, they, if like back then, if like they were trans or whatnot, they wouldn't really be able to just like come out and say it, because it's definitely not, it was not a social norm. And I feel like it still like isn't, and we're getting better about it. And so I think like the same things that would have happened back then, it shouldn't still be happening now, just because things are changing. So, yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that I really liked about the play, was that they focused on these amendments. And that's really our mechanism to try to change the Constitution, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, based upon what you've learned from that, what types of amendments do you think that we need to get us back on track to where we could keep our Constitution? I know that's a big question.
Yeah.
But
I feel like, I don't know. Well, I feel like I can't really answer this question very well, just because I'm still learning, you know, but I feel like we should definitely like keep the amendments that we have, but I feel like little adjustments could go a long way in that way. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, that's something that we can get done just through legislation, right? It doesn't necessarily always have to be at that constitutional level.
Yeah.
But it makes it really important to make sure that the people that you are voting for are going to represent your thoughts and ideals differently.
Mm-hmm.
Has being in the play made you think a little bit differently? I know you're just shy of being able to get in the voting booth yourself, but has it changed your thoughts as far as what you look for in a candidate?
Yes, because I feel like, okay, I'm trying to like word this. So let's say, if I were to just look at presidents before, I feel like, if I were able to vote, if I were younger, or if I had the same mindset if I was younger, I wouldn't really be able to like vote well just because I wouldn't like know what to look into. But now I know that like I need to look into what each like candidate's plans would be if they were to become president. Whew. Yeah.
How do you see the play's message influencing what you want to do in your future as far as activism is concerned?
Could you repeat that, please?
Sure. Sorry. Sure. The play itself, did it kind of fuel your desire for activism in the future?
Yes. Yes. While we were rehearsing for this play, it definitely made me think more about what I want to do in the future. Because, like, you know, like before I would just, like, I think I just wanted to do musical theater just to perform, you know, because that's what I want to do in the future. But, like, now, we just had this conversation, like, earlier. I'm non-binary, and so, like, there is non-binary representation on Broadway and stuff, but it's not very much, like, in my opinion, I feel like it's not in the front, you know? There's, like, other, like, of course representation for, like, all people are important, but I feel like there isn't very much non-binary representation. And before, I was just like, yeah, I want to go into musical theater because I enjoy it, but now I want to go into musical theater, one, because I enjoy it, and it's what I've been doing for most of my life, but, like, two, I want to, like, be a person that non-binary, like, younger people can look up to who are in musical theater or just, like, in general. And I want to be able to, like, give other non-binary people that motivation and be like, hey, they did it. Maybe, like, I can do it too. So, yeah, definitely, like, before this show, I would just kind of do things and, like, I kind of plan to just do things in the future without very much intention. But now after, I'm like, okay, I think, like, there's definitely more intention in everything that I do. So
that's exciting. And that brings up a big piece of what at least the young people that I am around are talking about, is that recognition of the independence of different people and having respect for lots of different thoughts and that sort of thing. What else in your experience do you feel are big issues for young voters today?
I feel like a lot, like, people, Gen Z, I guess, because I can't just say, like, kids anymore, because now the youngest of Gen Z is, like, 13 or something, so we're not that little anymore. But I feel like Gen Z has definitely had the mindset of, like, you know, politics just kind of, like, sucks, and this sucks, and that sucks, which, like, it does, but, like, it's not just, like, it doesn't just suck. There's, like, definitely reasons behind it, and I feel like we need to, like, look more into that, I guess, instead of just like having an opinion and not really looking into it. And I feel like we've been getting better at that. So
how would you suggest we better educate and inspire young people to understand the importance of voting and being politically involved?
I feel like definitely put it into social media, because I feel like that's where I've seen more education about like voting and politics. There's this one specific account on Instagram that I've learned a lot from. It's called Impact, I'm pretty sure. And, like, recently they've been, like, educating about a lot of stuff in general, but, like, they've been touching more about, like, the voting since it's close. And before, I feel like that's where I've learned a lot in these past couple of months is social media. So I think that's definitely where you should, like, implement more information about politics and just like different things like that.
It's good to know that that's kind of where you're getting your information from. Have you stumbled across some of this like wild misinformation and conspiracy theories and stuff like that?
Yes.
What do you make about that, and how do you think, or how do you try to kind of sort out the crazy from the actual good solid information?
I feel like it's just kind of frustrating because, like, I mean, none of the misinformation's about me, but I know for, like, the people who the misinformation's about, I know it must be very angering. Like, to me, that's frustrating because it's just, like, why? There's it's not needed. There's no reason. There's already, like, enough going on as it is without this, like, craziness going on. And the best that I can do is just try to scope out, like, look more into it. Like, let's say, what was it? Something about, like, Tennessee people, like, in Tennessee eating, like, cats and dogs or something like that. That, it's not needed. It's so, like, it's awful to, like, say that about people. And I know people from Tennessee must be, like, furious because everyone's, like, speculating, like, oh, my goodness, Tennessee is, like, they're eating cats? Oh, my God, that's terrible. Like, it's not true. And so, like, for me to figure, like, that out, I feel like I already knew it wasn't true. But, like, for other people who, like, didn't know and they didn't know what to think, I feel like it's very important to look more into, like, let's say for that specific information, look more into Tennessee itself, because there's definitely, like, people who are angry about it. And if they're angry about it, it's kind of, like, implied that it's not true. So instead of just, like, seeing one post and being like, oh, it must be true because it's the internet. It's most likely not going to be true. So you definitely have to look more into things.
You know, that was a particular one. I turned off the debate at that point when I just, it was like getting into the absurd. That happened to actually be in Ohio, not Tennessee.
Oh, sorry.
But it was part of an effort to stir up public sentiment against immigrants. They said that the Haitian population there were killing the cats and killing the pets.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that vilification. You know, you were talking about how it would make me angry if I was part of any of those populations. But it also kind of, it really sows fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
How would you suggest that maybe candidates could do better as far as speaking to young people, as far as what, from your perception, what do you think that they're interested in hearing? What would engage them to want to be, to care enough to go vote?
I feel like that's tough. I think that candidates should just speak their honest truth, because that's important, you know, but try not to speak about other people outside of, I guess, yourself, because I feel like your mindset is enough for people to decide of whether they want to vote for you or not, instead of having to, like, bring up the Haitians and, like, or blame other people for, like, different situations that are going on. We don't want to hear that, because if you're blaming other people, the people that you're blaming are not going to want to vote for you. So one, that's useless. Don't. just talk about your plans without, like, your plans that don't really involve other people. That would be my solution. I don't feel like I want to be talked about, like, in like a debate or like in a candidate's plans, unless it's like, I guess, like school or something. I don't know. Like better education, or like we're gonna give kids, like, you know, how recently, like, some kids can get free lunch at public school because that's needed. Like, things like that, not, like, specific groups of people, because it's just not needed, I don't think. So,
Cricket, I have a question about your future performances, if you will. Mm-hmm. Now, you were in What the Constitution Means to Me. Would you unhesitatingly accept another role that would feed your progressivism or your activism for that?
Yeah, definitely. I think I definitely would. And it just kind of depends on what the show is, because, like, if the show is about something that I don't agree with, then yeah, I'm not gonna, like, do it. But if it's definitely towards something that I want to, like, work for, or I want something to get, like, better, then yeah, I would definitely do it. So
I kind of, just thinking about that and how much I enjoyed the play and how much I learned from the play, it kind of lets me know there's just more than one way to be able to help to communicate and educate.
Mm-hmm.
When I was little, it was this whole series of songs, little cartoons on television called Schoolhouse Rock. And I still, to this day, can sing about the preamble to the Constitution. And I can,
I'm just a bill.
Yes, I'm only a bill. And we the people.
Yeah.
But I know it had a huge impact on my life. But as a performer yourself, What are your thoughts as far as trying to do more of that, creating more plays that are educational and entertaining at the same time?
Yes, I think that's very important. And I know if plays and musicals like that didn't exist, then I wouldn't know anything really. Like, not even just like politics. I feel like Voices Amplified is really good at like doing shows that help like things progress, like their summer pride shows. They've been doing that for a couple years now. Like the first one they did, I think it was her first one that I at least was a part of, was the prom. And that, like, I feel like being able to get groups of people like that to do one show that everyone's really passionate about, it's amazing. It's great because everyone's just like, everyone wants the same thing, and being able to share that through art, just like art period, is like a great way to just like express it and like to educate other people. Because I feel like if art hasn't been educational at all, then it like yes, art can just be like art. It can be pretty, but like it also can like inform people about things that they wouldn't normally have learned if they hadn't gone to like, if they hadn't watched Schoolhouse Rock, or they hadn't gone see musicals or plays. So,
yeah. Now, can we talk a little bit about the first time that you were ever on stage?
Oh, hold on. That was a long time ago. I was itty bitty. I'm pretty sure my first time on stage, performance wise, was 2015, because like you'll have like your elementary school like little things and like music class things, but I feel like the first like play or musical I've done, it was 2015. So I don't know math, but I think I was either like, I think I was seven, maybe, or seven or eight, one of the two. And my mom just kind of like put me in like this program, and like, you know, whenever parents are just like, hey, do this, and you don't know like that you have any will at that age, you're like, okay, and you just go out and do it. I think my first show was Lion King, if I'm correct, and I just had fun. It was really fun, so I kept doing it, and then like it was just great. There isn't really any words to explain it that I can think of right now. It was just like, it definitely, that one, like, program and that one performance definitely pivot, turn, my life is now musical theater. And so eventually I started doing, like, two shows at a time and then three shows at a time. And, like, my max is four, but, like, most of the time I'm normally doing, like, three shows at a time and, like, plus, like, dance classes and vocal lessons and, like, private acting lessons. Like, it's just, I don't know, it just kind of, like, took over my life ever since then.
And somewhere down the road, you got to meet and work with our own illustrious Karen Czar.
Yes. We met with the Lexington Company. It was Newsies 2019. That was my first show with them. And I was in the youth ensemble, because they all have their professional cast, then their like adult cast, and then their high school like apprentices, and then they're like youth apprentices. So I was still kind of little. I was 12, and I never got to talk to Karen much, but we would always see each other around because we had this thing called tea time, I think it was, and we would learn about the Newsies from like the real Newsies from back then, and that like in the revolution. And so we would definitely see each other around, and yeah.
Well, and back to the back to using stage performances to influence people and to see and be seen, to be quite honest. What message would you put out that, you know, to your peers? Because let's face it, What the Constitution Means to Me was produced a long time ago, and it was, you know, I don't even know how it speaks to young people today. And I don't even know where I'm going with this question, but really, you know, what would the message be to your peers?
Like, if I were to create a show?
Yeah.
That awareness is important, just, like, in general. Like, awareness about, literally anything. I don't know how I would like narrow it down and how to like really get like that message across, but that would be the message that I would want to like give to other people and my peers, is just that awareness is important.
You know, and I'd have to add on to that, because if you look at history, the artists have often been at the forefront of change. It's the artist putting out these amazing, you know, rally types of banners, and they've been doing, sing-alongs to try to fight the Vietnam War, all those types of things. And a lot of artists have really been able to foment change over our entire history. So if any young people out there are thinking that they can't make a difference, they certainly can.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, in the time that we have left, we have time for a final thought about us bringing you in and talking about Voting Matters. How does that feel?
It feels crazy. I feel like a couple of years ago, I wouldn't really like do much outside of performing, period. And now, like, specifically, I feel like more recently, like this year, things have been chugging along, like, way faster than I, like, thought it would. Like, earlier with Constitution, like, we were on the news and we were talking about that. And now, like, I'm talking on a podcast about, like, voting and stuff. It's just, like, it's weird, but it's exciting. We're I'm moving forward with intention, and I'm, like, doing the things that I want to do. So
that's terrific. And we thank you very much for your time today, Cricket Brown.
Yes,
and
thank you for having me.
Yeah, we so appreciate it. And again, I am a huge fan and looking forward to hopefully being able to get to some more Voices Amplified performances.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you have any that you'd like to plug?
Well,
or any of your performances? It doesn't have to be Voices Amplified.
Well, Voices Amplified, we're about to do Ghostlight Cabaret next weekend. So,
oh,
yes, come see that.
That sounds like perfect time of year and whatnot for that. And then I guess I would just say to our listeners, again, start making your plans. Start making your plans to vote. Figure out which day you might want to target. Figure out what friend you might want to bring to the ballot booth with you, because this year is going to be super critical. And don't forget to research all your down ballot types of races, because they actually probably have more day-to-day impact on your life. And feel free to check out some of that at vote411.org.
Thank you very much for your time again, Eliza. And thank you, Cricket.
Thank
and
you.
We will see you next time on Voting Matters.
You've been listening to Voting Matters, a podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the League of Women Voters. Subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, or download Voting Matters from the podcast page at wuky.org. We also have links from the organizations and guests mentioned in this program. See you next time for Voting Matters.